making guacamole. You couldn't even pick up the fucking phone and listen to the latest Columbia House Party mailbag. Jake, what's up, man? I just wanted to say the fuck word.
I like how threatening that was. We should threaten people. I just wanted to swear.
Look, I'm all out of sorts today, man.
Look, there are some days where you
I'm recording this on my laptop, which is unusual. I'm all, yes, you were going to say there are just some days.
There's some days where you just got to say a good, hearty fuck.
Man, I thought you were going to go into the lyrics from Break Stuff.
I should have.
I wouldn't have set you up to repeat that if I knew that not Limp Bizkit was coming.
Well, too bad.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to anyone with sensitive ears who was listening to this intro, but hey, sometimes you gotta drop an F-bomb and shout out Mal Blum, you know? Sometimes you just have to do that on a December mailbag.
I mean, I think we should shout out Mal Blum more than we do, which is we haven't yet, so I'm
aware of it. Yeah, now increased infinite Columbia House Party, now with infinitely more Mal Blum shoutouts. so many options for the song in that slot today. This is, of course, your December Columbia House Party Patreon mailbag episode. However, it's coming out at the end of December, which also makes it a de facto New Year's episode. So lots and lots of options for the New Year's slot. We did manage to, as I do in that spot, though, you know, work in the word questions or mail or answer or something. I will get to that in a second. Jake, I would ask, or maybe we're going to be ahead and asking on New Year's Eve, when is this night going to end? Are you lying in her bed? All the questions in our head.
It's a happy new year. I'm making guacamole.
You could end me that back up the fucking phone and call me.
I don't like my t-shirt. I don't like my blue jeans. I don't like my attitude. It's gonna be a party.
Little song is New Year's Eve by Mal Blum. Jake, are you familiar with Mal Blum?
I am, actually. Yeah. I'm a big Mal Blum supporter. Mal Blum was a constant presence, if you will, on the old Chris Gethard show, which got me through many a long night when I was supposed to be doing my job at the Score. But
I don't know anything about that.
But yeah, Mal Blum kicks ass, and saw them open for Titus Andronicus, I want to say.
Cool.
But yeah, Mal Blum rules.
Sweet. Yeah, so that's New Year's Eve by Mal Blum. Add that to your New Year's playlist. You have just enough time. You know, it's not going to be the happiest New Year's song, but it's also not going to be the saddest. So, you know, it's right in that sweet spot. All right, the first question comes from Phil. Phil asks, if you were going to write a 33 and a third book, which album would it be about?
I'm assuming, like you, I've thought about this question before. And I think there's a few ways to approach it. I think you can either do it where you write about the album that like you love the most or you're the most passionate about, or you can do the one that you think is the best story. I lean the latter just because I feel like my 33 and a third book about like a Hold Steady album would just me like saying like, this is good and I like it. So I think my answer for this would be The 1994 album, The Holy Bible by Manic Street Preachers, most because of the story of Richie Edwards, which if you're not familiar with, shortly after this album came out, he disappeared and has never been found. And it's just this kind of crazy story that has, you know, fans thinking that they've seen him and reporting him. I believe he has since been, in the last couple of years, either the case was reopened or officially closed. I forget which very different outcomes. But it's also a great album. One of my favorite albums of the 90s. And just a really cool story. Well, not a cool story. Just an interesting story.
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, in the spirit of telling a good story, what I always thought for this was I wanted to write about the Taking Back Sunday brand new quote unquote feud that's so legendary and got the back and forth kind of burn songs. Unfortunately, I wouldn't want to do that now, given what we know about Jesse Lacey, and I don't know, it just killed my enthusiasm for it. I do think Tell All Your Friends would still be high on my list to do one about. I also think, and we did a whole episode on this, but everyone knows I'm very fascinated by the Travis Barker solo project and think that that would lead to some cool interviews. The one that I might, and I don't know how you do this without making it seem like you're just writing a fictionalized version of the story on the album, but The Streets of Grand Don't Come for Free, which is a concept album telling one cohesive story, I think could be a really cool 33 and a third as well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Well, glad we agree as usual. Somewhere where we are going to disagree, I think, or at least this next question is more a Jake question than a me question, I think. No offense. This one comes from Regs, who asks, what was the first album you bought for cred? To seem cool or because it was important that you've espoused to others, but you secretly don't like? Jake, you have not hidden that early 20s Jake was basically that guy. So what stood out to you from this one?
So this is the early 20s Jake that guy origin story. So as we're turning the clocks back. We're going back to 12-year-old Jake, who was still finding his musical taste or identity or however you want to phrase that. But there was an album that came out in the spring 2001 that was everywhere, and you definitely know the singles from it, and I didn't like it except for one single, which now I genuinely really like. But I bought it because all my friends were talking about it, because all my friends were middle to upper class white kids, so of course they loved this the most in 2001. And that album, of course, is 2001 by Dr. Dre.
What is the one single that you
obviously forgot by? About Dre? One of the great like, okay, stupid songs of all time.
Also, we've talked a lot about stereotypical white people karaoke songs in the past. You know, there was a whole segment in our Killers episode about Mr. Brightside being like probably the most karaoke'd song of all time, but Forgot About Dre. It's gotta be like right there. It's the song that every white guy can rap along to.
Yeah, absolutely true.
It's gotta be right at the top. For anyone who doesn't know, or for anyone who just wants a quick karaoke aside here, this is Forgot About Dre by Dr. Dre and Eminem.
Know me, still the same OG, but I've been low key. Hated on by most these niggas with no cheese, no deals and no G's, no wheels and no keys, no boats, no snowmobiles and no skis. Mad at me, cause I can finally afford to provide my family with groceries. Got a crib with a studio and a saw full of tracks to add to the wall full of plaques. Hanging up in the office and back of my house like trophies. Did y'all think I'ma let my dough freeze? Hold please, you better bow down on both knees. Who you think taught you to smoke trees? Who you think brought you to ODs? Eazy-E's, Ice Cubes and D.O.C's, the Snoop D.O.G's, and a group that said motherfuck the police. Gave you a tape full of dope beats to bump when you stroll through in your hood. And when your album sales wasn't doing too good, who's the doc that he told you to go see? Y'all better listen up closely. All you niggas that said that I turn pop or the firm flop, y'all are the reason that Dre ain't been getting no sleep. So fuck y'all, all of y'all. If y'all don't like me, blow me. Y'all are gonna keep fucking around with me and turn me back to the old me.
Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about trade. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about trade. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre.
I gotta say, that song sounds pretty good in these nice headphones. It's good bass. Ooh, good bass.
I gotta say, I can never, as much as that song is itself, like obviously its own thing, there was, back in the LimeWire days, there was a version of it where someone replaced the term Dre with Cartman saying Sega Dreamcast every time. And it's the same song, but every time it says Dre, it's just like Sega Dreamcast.
That's a perfect LimeWire bit that I still think is really funny.
Yeah, it's I guess like pre-dank meme almost. Like it's maybe not dank, but it's certainly
that's fucking weird. Pretty dank.
Yeah. So I don't have a great answer for this one because, you know, as we've kind of talked about, you know, while you did the kind of I'm listening to this stuff or not listening to this stuff for cool points, I kind of leaned in the other way and leaned into the, oh, actually me liking different music than you guys is part of my identity. Now, having said that, I will say in my early 20s when I did my heavier hip hop phase and was like going out to the bar a lot post university and stuff, I would say I don't have an answer in terms of what CD I bought or album I bought, but there would have been a lot of R&B on my MP3 CDs or mixes that I didn't actually like and were just on there to, you know, show some depth.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, you got to... you know, you got to have the slow jams on there too, right? I stand by, like you stand by Forgot About Dre from your faking liking the Dr. Dre album. I will stand by liking Pretty Ricky from my R&B stretch of time.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Pretty Ricky rule. Next question comes from Chuck, who asks, do you have a favorite indie Christmas song, original or covering a classic? Chuck, we did a special bonus episode that was just our favorite kind of non-traditional, we'll call them, Christmas songs. You could find some answers there if you go back into Patreon or on the main feed. We recently posted it for the holidays as well. Jake, have you had anything new or anything change in your opinion on, you know, did going back to the Sufjan Christmas songs, you know, shoot anything up your rankings or anything like that?
The Los Campesinos Christmas EP that came out, I don't know, 5 years ago? I don't remember. It's in front of me. I should just look at the date. 2014. There you go. Is really good and just kind of sounds like a Los Campesinos EP about Christmas. And obviously that's something I'd be into.
Yeah, it's perfect. I will stand by my selections from the bonus episode, but I will say Carly Rae Jepsen's new holiday song this year, It's Not Christmas Until Somebody Cries.
It is good.
Would definitely have bumped someone off my list last time around. So
yeah, it's a good
one. I know that Carly Rae Jepsen is a very loose definition of an indie Christmas song, but I think in the spirit of it not being like the type of Christmas song it you counts. Hear while you're shopping at Walmart. It counts, yeah.
It counts, for sure. All right,
our next question comes from Jay Nielsen, who asks, what do you think of best of albums? I'll answer first here. I think they're kind of an outdated concept now in the streaming era where you can just choose the songs you want to listen to anyway. I can see what their purpose would have been at one point, but I personally, I'm going to get music snobby here for a second. I don't like, Jake, that it strips the song from their context within the album.
Mm. I get that. I think it depends on the band for me.
Yeah, for certainly. If you're a band that writes songs as standalone things for singles, you know, it's going to play a lot better than a band who's trying to take you through an entire experience on an album.
I also think it's useful if you're trying to get into a band like, say, Guided by Voices, who put out like 17 albums a year, and you're just like, what are the good Guided by Voices songs? They put out 100 songs last year. I think a best of, just going through that, is useful to get a sense of if you'd like the band.
See, now my counter to that would be that a band like the Mountain Goats, who are so prolific in terms of volume, a best of album would do them a great disservice, because they're very much you have to be in the context of this album.
That's very true.
To really get it.
So, yes, I also agree with that.
Band by band.
But I also think there's...
By the way, I just realized, sorry to cut you off, I just realized that a couple questions ago, the album we bought for credit to seem cool but didn't actually like, we both missed an opportunity for good Drake jokes.
That's true, we did. We really did.
Let's go back. Our answers are both Drake. Jake's from when he was around him, and me from being around the Raptors.
He was not putting out albums when I was around him. So
I know. All right. Did you have anything more on the best of, or should we?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I also think they work for, like, there's a lot of bands I love that are kind of older bands that are just like, I love The Cure. The Cure are one of my favorite bands. But like, The Cure are a singles band. Some of their deeper cuts are great. Some of them aren't. But like, sometimes I just want to hear the hits, you know? And when you're just in the mood for the hits, that's when a best of's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's they're certainly a band that, you know, I think that suits for sure. And then there are also the bands that, like, you know, some bands just don't make good albums and make good songs here.
Right.
And obviously totally. It plays better for them. All right. Our next question, Jake. I no-sold your joke about Beats headphones earlier when you were talking about Dr. Dre.
You know what's funny?
Because I knew,
They're not even Beats? No, I didn't even realize I was making that joke. I was being completely genuine.
Oh.
totally missed that entirely.
Yikes.
Whoops.
All right.
Well.
Yeah, we are officially off the rails here.
Yep.
Anyway, this next question is about headphones. It comes from Andrew, who asks, what is your go-to album when testing out a new pair of headphones?
Mine is The Most Lamentable Tragedy, the 2015 record from Titus Andronicus, one of my favorite albums, and also an album that I just think sounds really good on headphones. And I think the reason is because when it came out, I was so excited for it, because my favorite mode of Titus Andronicus is overly long, bombastic concept albums. And I was originally found, like, I think it was like a SoundCloud leak of this originally, and it sounded like shit. So when I got the like official copy, it sounded so good that now it's just like, that's my go-to headphone album now.
Yeah, that makes sense. The Most Lamentable Tragedy, also a name for this episode of this podcast.
That was good.
Oh boy. Yeah, let's cleanse the palate here with No Future Part 4 by Titus Andronicus.
We'll be right back.
I don't have a specific answer for that one. I don't have a go-to album, but I do have like a screamo slash post-hardcore running playlist that, I mean, obviously this would only work for headphones that are running capable, but that would definitely be what I turn on to, you know, then you're getting, do they stay in my ears comfortably? Do they, you know, are you getting the louder parts of these songs coming through clearly?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I totally get what you mean.
Yeah. All right. Our next question comes from Lauren, who asks, what's the best Bond theme and why is it Jack White and Alicia Keys? So I guess first, Jake, do you agree that it's Jack White and Alicia Keys? Because this is a very easy question.
If so. I don't, but I do think that's a very underrated movie and an underrated song. Mm. But I don't think that's the best one.
Yeah, Quantum of Solace, right? That's which one, that one?
Yeah. No, my favorite is actually from the movie before. And that's, it was kind of an unconventional Bond theme. I think it was, it's not the name of the movie. That's why it's weird. I think it's called You Know My Name, and it's by Chris Cornell. It's from Casino Royale.
Ooh, I don't like that one.
Oh, really? Oh, I love it. It's so,
Royale also has the dumbest poker scene of all time.
It does. But like, it's exactly what I want from a Bond theme, because it's just like, it just like gets you pumped up and also is like really dumb and makes and stupid, which is exactly what James Bond movies are.
Yeah. So I have two answers to this. I agree that the Jack White, Alicia Keys one is a good one. I have a soft spot for Tomorrow Never Dies by Sheryl Crow.
Mm.
And I don't think that's because of the song. I think that it was the Bond movie that came out after GoldenEye. And given my age and that GoldenEye on N64 was really my first introduction to Bond, other than like maybe watching them at my grandma's or whatever. That's like, to me, that's like my first Bond experience kind of in my head is that one. And then my pick for just quality of song or like my favorite song is The World Is Not Enough by Garbage.
That's a great one. That one gets stuck in my head sometimes.
Yeah. Now, admittedly, I have not seen all of the older Bonds, so we might be missing some good ones from the golden era, but
yeah, I feel like, is Live and Let Die a Bond? No, that's not a Bond movie.
I don't know them all.
Yeah, me neither.
There are like, it's like Fall Out Boy song titles. You could say like 50 different things and I believe you that it was a Bond title.
I have my B-side answer, I guess, is one that actually didn't make the movie, but Radiohead did one for Spectre, and they chose the Sam Smith one, but the Radiohead song's really good.
Damn. Where that band? Radiohead.
That's the most uncool kid I've ever seen.
I had another comment and I can't remember what it was. It was something about the dumb Fall Out Boy joke, like, I'm going to change your status to dead or something like that. Our next question comes from James, who asks, what are some artists and albums that others have told you about that you are now really into? Which is basically what Twitter and our Discord and this podcast are for. But Jake, do you have some specific answers for us?
It's hard to tell because like so much, especially like way back, so much of being told about things just blends into like my music taste now.
Right.
I guess technically, but not really, Sturgill Simpson. Because our friend Steve from the ska band Pup was going to go to his concert in 2016 and asked if I wanted to go with him. But I hadn't listened to his new album yet. And then it turned out to be like one of my five favorite records of the last decade. Even though I knew who he was, I hadn't listened to that album yet. So I guess that one. And like since then, obviously, I love Sturgill. I feel like there's definitely been bands on Twitter, like just from like random Twitter conversations that we've gotten. That's not being told about. This one's hard. I don't know. I generally don't remember like what was being told about and what was just like coming across. It's tough.
It is tough. But what are you going to do? Right.
Yeah.
That's the question that we got. And,
I mean, a lot of my music taste was built from just like browsing internet forums back in the day. So if those count, it's like every band I listened to in high school.
Right. Yeah. So I, you know, I think that this is best when you, I mean, first of all, I will say that our friend Steve from the new metal band Pup has put me onto some bands just by, you know, some of the bands that they tour with. So Diet Sig was one of my favorite albums of this year, and I found Diet Sig through them touring with Pup. I will also say the Discord has been good for it, so thank you to you guys for that. I believe someone from the Discord suggested Beach Bunny to me, which was also one of the top ones on my list. My friend Jordan White, who, you know, is a potential future podcast guest, put me onto the Beths. John Cullen put me onto Katie Malko, who I mentioned earlier was you know, was one of my favorite albums of the year as well. So lots. But in general, outside of those examples, I think the best use of that, especially now where like it is hard to figure out where you got music from or where that band got on your radar from. But I do think it's most helpful out of genre where, you know, I would get told, you know, good example, hey, you like Lil Peep, you'll probably like Juice WRLD. And then from there, it's like, you'll probably like Trippy Red. And, you know, I listen to hip hop, but I don't listen to as much hip hop where I would naturally find those things maybe. So I do feel, and it's the same with country, you know, like, hey, oh, you're not a country person, but, you know, you liked Casey Musgraves and you like Sam Hunt. Okay, you know, maybe you'll like this. So, or, hey, you like Sturgill, check out this new Chris Stapleton album, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think makes sense.
Yeah, and I guess now.
All right, Jake.
I actually have an answer now. Thinking about it, I'm just like going back to like high school. Like my friend Mike LaBelle told me about to listen to like the Pixies and Constantines and Nine Inch Nails and like that, like those like fun, like building block bands. If that makes sense, a lot of those were like told to me.
Nice. Yeah. So good question, James. Thank you. So moving on, we have a question from Miles, who was inspired by the CBC My Playlist program. Normally they get musicians on and use that time to describe their influences and music, like, etc. However, for the mailbag, he would like to ask us to use music to describe who we are. So these would be songs that influenced us or described parts of us. The limits would be you get 1 hour of airtime, roughly 45 minutes of music and 15 minutes of telling stories. Other than that, anything goes. You know, that's basically this podcast in general. But what do you got for us, Jake?
So there's a bunch of like bands that white dudes with beards like. Obviously, like the Hold Steady sort of put a more, not consistently, perhaps always, but like at a time when I needed it, put more of a positive thinking spin on my brain. The Mountain Goats sort of introduced me to, you know, songcraft and songwriting in a new way. And also like, I think the Mountain Goats were a big influence on me and like openness about talking about mental health, which is kind of odd for a band to do. I think bands like Bomb the Music Industry and sort of Jeff's whole career, sort of about like doing your art your way and music should be free and sort of introducing that kind of stuff. Propaganda, obviously, for a lot of political ideas and political reasons. I literally became a vegetarian for 8 years because I listened to Propaganda so much and just sort of opening my eyes to political ideas, political leanings, both through their music and also through pamphlets at their shows and things they say and all that. But I think the artist, I just can't pick one song, but the artist that has had the most influence on me to the point that I basically spent 5 years of my life just trying to be this person, who also like introduced a lot of political ideas and musical ideas and through covers introduced me to so many bands, would be none other than the great Mr. Ted Leo.
Listening to a song to myself, eat bread, eat bread, so like this.
great little song. Jake, did you have more?
No, I'm done.
Okay. So this is a hard question and is probably something we could have spun into its own bonus episode, I think, and kind of really gone through it. Mine would obviously, I think you guys know the directions that it would skew, but mea culpa, I kind of ran out of time because of some project that I'm working on. So I didn't actually sit down and go through it. So I apologize to Miles, but I'll think on it and try to work it in at another time. But it has been a very busy and stressful time, and I just, you know, I didn't want to rush an answer and give a bad one, so I'll give you no answer instead. I don't know if that's better or worse.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, so I apologize, Miles, but luckily Jake gave you a nice thoughtful answer. All right, final question of the mailbag today, Jake.
Sup?
I'm going to take the first answer here. This question comes from Tom, who asks, what other podcasts do you listen to? My answer, of course, is none.
Yeah, my answer is why would anyone listen to a podcast? Are you kidding me?
Podcasts, including this one.
Absolutely. I do not listen to any, none.
I don't actually mean that they're bad, but I can't listen to podcasts when I'm working because it requires like the verbal part of my brain, like reading and writing. And I prefer when I'm doing like data work or when I'm doing exercise or whatever. I always prefer to have music on. So I genuinely don't listen to podcasts unless someone just like raves about an episode of one, or there's like a newsworthy like low post or something like that.
Right.
I know what the good podcasts are, like our friends at Blocked Party and All Fantasy Everything and the Doughboys and Dishes and Dimes on the Raptor side. I know what the good podcasts are. I just don't spend a lot of time listening to them. So I apologize to all the podcasters out there. But I know that you all secretly feel the same way, and doing a podcast turns you into a non-podcast consumer.
I would say that pretending to be into podcasts is like our conversation earlier, but pretending to be into music. It's okay. You cannot.
Oh, yeah.
You
cannot like, listen to that thing.
You cannot like them. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you like them, that's great. It's great for us. It's great for our business model. You know, rate, subscribe, review, all that stuff. however, I prefer to have music on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like,
that's what it is. I think that's what it is.
Everyone always assumes that I'll listen to a lot of sports podcasts too, but that's like, would you listen to when you're done work for the day or while you're at your desk on your own, would you listen to a podcast of your coworkers talking about work?
Right. Exactly. And to your earlier point, which I think is a good one, there's no world where I would choose to listen to a podcast over music.
Yeah. Again, there are exceptions if there's a great episode or a great guest or a newsworthy one or whatever. But for the most part, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
There you have it. Columbia House Party, the only good podcast. The only one you should listen to. Jake, we're at the part of this podcast. We have to pick a song for the mixtape's B-side. What are you feeling?
Ooh, a lot of good choices of like bands that I think we're going to cover eventually. So I think I want to throw some Mel Blum on there.
All right. Yeah, it makes sense. It's unofficially the New Year's episode as right, well.
Right, exactly.
All right. So let me just type into the microphone here.
There we go.
Mel Blum.
An age-old tradition.
Yeah, that might be the first one that made the mixtape that was like one of my intro song choice instead of
that's true
an answer to a question.
That's true.
So what a special episode.
I love it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. This has been your December mailbag. All right, Jake. Thanks so much for this, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, man.